Good afternoon, everyone. The Labor, Industry, Veterans, and Military Affairs, Finance, and Policy Committee will come to order. I would like to announce that this meeting will take place in accordance with House Rule 10.01. This meeting may be viewed on House Public Information TV, which is available on the House website. As is custom with this committee, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag. The United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Ms. Doyle, will you please take the roll?
Chair Eklund.
Present.
Vice Chair Zhang.
Present.
Representative Detmer.
Detmer present.
Representative McDonald.
Donald present.
Representative Berg.
Present.
Representative Bliss.
Present.
Representative Edelson.
Present.
Representative Frederick.
Present.
Representative Greenman.
Present.
Representative Nelson.
Present.
Representative Poston.
Present.
Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh present.
Representative Sundin. Representative Sundin. We do have a quorum.
Quorum is present. Members, we do have two sets of minutes to approve today. First, we'll approve the will be the approval of minutes from March 26, 2021. Every member should have received a copy of today's minutes in their inbox. Representative Berg, would you care to move the minutes?
I move the minutes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Berg moves approval of minutes from March 26, 2021. Any comments or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of the adoption of the minutes, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Motion, minutes are approved. We also have the minutes from April 6, 2021. Every member should have also received a copy of today's minutes in their inbox. Representative Poston, would you care to move the minutes from April 6, 2021?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd move those minutes.
Representative Poston moves approval of the minutes from April 6, 2021. Any comments or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the minutes, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. The minutes are adopted, and I will now transfer the gavel to Representative Zhang.
All right, thank you, Chair Eklund. Today we have House File 1670 from Representative Eklund, which is the Labor, Industry, and Bureau of Meditation Services Finance Mediation Services, Finance, and Policy Omnibus Bill. I move that House File 1670 be re-referred to Ways and Means. And I will move the DE3 Authors Amendment from Representative Eklund. And it looks like we do have one more testifier who signed up to testify today. Sherry Munyon. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed. Is she here yet?
Members, thank you.
Ms. Munyon?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you very much. My name, as I said, is Sherry Munyon, and I'm here today testifying on behalf of the Minnesota chapter of the National Fire Sprinkler Association. Thank you for including Section 21, the automatic sprinkler systems in existing high-rise buildings in the omnibus bill. If enacted into law, the requirement to install fire sprinklers in existing high-rise buildings will significantly enhance the safety of both Minnesota's firefighters and also some of our state's most vulnerable populations who live in these buildings. The elderly, those with physical challenges, and children, as well as other high-risk groups where their injuries typically occur before firefighters are even on the scene. As you know, the residential fire sprinklers are designed to activate and thereby contain a fire in its earliest state of growth, providing precious time for the firefighters to arrive and for the occupants to escape. Fire sprinklers also reduce the toxins that are released into the air, reduce smoke inhalation, and thereby exposure to deadly carcinogens breathed in by either firefighters or residents. We believe this bill is long overdue, and it is also in response to the loss of five precious Minnesota lives at the Cedar High-Rise apartment fire. Sadly, just yesterday, a massive eight-alarm apartment fire rocked New York, injuring 21 individuals. 16 of those individuals were firefighters trying to protect the public. 240 residents were displaced. The reason I measure the displacement of the residents is there have been discussions in the past about displacement of residents during our sprinkler installation. To illustrate that while displacement is usually just one or two half days during installation, consider now that some individuals displaced from fire will be required to find alternative housing for quite a while. Passage of this provision will rectify a long-standing fire safety deficiency by protecting people from fire before the firefighters can arrive. We are joined in support of passage of this provision by the Minnesota Professional Firefighters, Minnesota Pipe Trades Association, Minnesota State Fire Marshal, the Minnesota Sprinkler Fitters, Local 417, Minnesota State Fire Chiefs Association, the Minnesota Chapter of the Society of Fire Protection Engineers, and our National Fire Sprinkler Association. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Ms. Munyon. Representative Eklund, any comments before we begin amendments?
No, Mr. Chair, I'm ready for amendments.
All right, looks like we have two amendments before us today. The first is the A1 author's amendment. Representative Eklund, please explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The main part of this amendment is adding the school grants program for a program that the operating engineers, Local 49, operates in Houston County. It has $100,000 in the first year for the grant to Independent School District 294. The rest of the amendment, Mr. Chair, is largely technical, and I would ask Ms. James to walk through that.
All right. Ms. James from House Research.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. On the A1 author's amendment, the beginning of the amendment, you'll see several number changes. Those appropriation amounts are adjusted to reflect the other changes. I'll go through briefly. At lines 1.11 and 2.4 to 2.11, the appropriation for campus is removed, which is the workers' compensation technical system. That appropriation amount instead is continued from the previous omnibus and through fiscal year 2023, and the amounts have been adjusted for that. There's a technical change at 1.14 to fix a statutory citation related to the dual pipeline program. And then, like Chair Eklund mentioned, at lines 1.15 to 2.2 and from 2.12 to 2.22, those include the changes on the Career Pathways grants. At line 2.23 to 3.1, this adds the language regarding nursing home reimbursement that was adopted through an A5 amendment, House File 41 in Human Services. And finally, at 3.2 to 3.3, it modifies the definition of a small meat processing operation is. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. James. Members, any comments on the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and the amendment is adopted. And sorry for my window. Next amendment we have is the A4 from Representative Detmer. Representative Detmer, please explain your amendment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think as Chair Eklund and also last year's Chair Sundin understood that I brought this forward last year And it's a bill that would, in terms of dedicated acres that are put in apartment buildings, the current statutes was written with a flat roof in mind. And what my bill would do, if there's a building with the 6 floors or less with a pitched roof, that statute would waive the requirements of these anchors. Well, last year it came before the committee and it didn't make it. So I said, well, I'll try again this year. Well, this year, Mr. Chair, I didn't get a hearing. And being the co-lead on this committee, I thought, sure, I would get a hearing, but that didn't happen. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to withdraw my amendment. I'll try again next year, but I would like to do it the right way. I would like to get a hearing, and I'd like to be able to defend my rationale and bring in people to testify. And but I guess I'm really disappointed that we didn't get a hearing on this in the committee that I serve on. And I guess I'll have to wait and see what happens with the Senate. Looks like it's going to be in their jobs bill. So I might have to wait till the conference committee. But the language was actually written by Dolly. I had Dolly and also the developers that are putting up these buildings. I had them in my office. And I said, I want to do it the right way. I want the language written so that we can make it right for these developers that are providing a lot of jobs out there for construction workers, that if these anchors aren't not going to be used, you can't even access them from a pitched roof. If they're not going to be used, why put them in? It costs thousands of dollars. In this case, it was $80,000 that this developer had to spend to put these anchors in that are not going to be used. So again, I'm going to withdraw my amendment, and I'll work on it again next year. But really, this should have got a hearing. Labor could have came in and testified. Developers could have came in and testified. It would have maybe taken 10 minutes of committee time. So I guess I'm disappointed that this didn't take place. So thank you. I withdraw my amendment.
All right. Thank you, Representative Detmer. Go to questions. I think I saw Representative Nelson's hand go up, but Representative Nelson?
Thank you, Chair. I was just going to say, I was going to rise to oppose the amendment, but seeing as I was pulling it, I guess I'm not going to have to do that. The concern I have with this is there are ways that they can get access to those. As a member of the construction industry, a carpenter, safety on the job is an important thing. The cost of putting these anchors in and giving access to them so that the window washers and future dates can use them is very important. Again, it's for the safety. It's so that these workers can go home at night afterwards and not risk the danger of falls or getting injured from a fall. So members, but as seeing as how the amendment was pulled, I'm not going to say any more.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Detmer.
That's why I had Dolly come in and write the language for this bill. Safety is important. And I agree, you know, with Representative Nelson, but that's why I had Dolly come in and write the language. I did it the right way.
Representative McDonald, you're next.
Yeah, thank you. Just real quickly, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to hear from Representative Eklund as to why Representative Detmer, who is a committee lead, why that bill didn't get a hearing.
All right, Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Detmer, when you inquired about this bill, I asked if you had your issues that were brought up 2 years ago when we heard this bill in Chair Sundin's committee, if you had resolved your issues with organized labor, and I did not get any answer back from you on that answer. So I would guess that's probably that's the reason that we didn't get a hearing. And for these type of things, I would rather that, I don't think they should be legislated. I think they should be changed to the construction codes through that committee, and then they can be brought to the legislature for those change. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Representative Eklund.
And Mr. Chair.
Detmer.
Yeah, with that, a lot of times those issues with the labor unions can be resolved in a committee hearing. And a lot of times people don't understand some of the legislation that comes forward, and they can be discussed in the committee, and then the committee can take a vote if they want it or not. So I just trusted that the committee would help with that decision.
All right. I have a question for Travis. With the motion being withdrawn, does Representative Detmer have to restate his withdrawal?
No, we can just move on to the next item This has been withdrawn, so we're all done with this motion for now.
All right. Seeing no further amendments for the DE3, I will move the DE3 as amended for adoption. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. The amendment is adopted. Members, we now have House File 1670 before us as amended. Any further comments at this time? Representative Eklund, any comments to the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1670 takes a big step towards protecting Minnesota workers, many of whom have faced tremendous challenges in the last 12 months due to COVID-19. House File 1670 contains several important policy bills that protect our workforce in the state of Minnesota. Some of the highlights are earned sick and safe time, House File 7 by Representative Olson, rehire hospitality workers, these are in the labor standards enforcement, rehire hospitality workers, House File 39, Representative Carlson. Meatpacker protections, House File 800 from Representative Wolgamont. Pregnant and nursing worker accommodations from Representative Cagle, House File 357. From the Workforce Development Fund, we have helmets to hard hats, House File 1794, Representative Frederick, $450,000 from the Workforce Development Fund to help veterans get training and jobs in the building trades. Apprenticeship program, $2.75 million in FY22-23 for Dolly's apprenticeship program. Youth skills, a $2.2 million from the Workforce Development Fund for youth skills training program administered by Dolly. Dual training pipeline, $600,000 Worker Development Fund to support the dual training program, which provides on-the-job training and certification in our high-demand industries. Bureau of Mediation Services, there's money in there for $94,000 to establish grievance procedures for police officer. This is the base amount enacted in the big police reform bill that was passed by the legislature and signed by Governor Walz in the July 2020 special session. We have emergency paid leave for essential workers, House File 41 from Representative Frazier. The funding for that is largely through other committees, but we have the policy language in here. And then again, one that I'm most proud of is protections for nursing and pregnant workers, House File 357 from Representative Cagle. House File 104, Representative Dabney, employers can't reduce tips for transaction fees. House File 108 from Representative Knorr, employers can't use credit reports when hiring workers. This is, I think, a tremendous one for our oil refinery industry and the workers in there, a skilled and trained workforce at oil refineries from Representative Liz Lagarde. Representative Long has House File 831, revised energy code for commercial buildings. Representative Knorr, House File 109, requires sprinklers in high-rise residential buildings. And House File 961, create new bargaining unit for law enforcement supervisors. And then the Dolly policy bill from Representative Frederick, We do have some increase in fine amounts in there, but we are being forced to do that, not forced to do that. We have to do that so that we are in compliance with federal OSHA bills. So with that, Mr. Chair, I think we did a very detailed walkthrough yesterday. I want to thank Ms. Roberts and Ms. James for the tremendous amount of work they did helping from nonpartisan staff putting this together, and also our partisan staff from both sides, Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Colquist from the GOP side, and of course Travis Reese and Grace Doyle from this side, and Dave Sullivan from the House DFL side. So with that, Mr. Chair, I will stand for questions that members may have.
All right, thank you, Chair Eklund, and thank you to the staff. Member questions, Representative McDonald?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just takes some time to get the technical aspects here ready for questioning. See, I have a question regarding, well, on the whole bill, but I do have a comment, rather, Mr. Chair and Chair Eklund, regarding first and foremost the Safe Workplace and Meat and Poultry Processing Workers Bill. So Wagamas House File 7. Just in that testimony, when we heard the testifiers, many of them who testified indicated that they were on a safety committee at the meat plant, and that they review those safety measures often and often go on the floors of those manufacturing plants. The fact that the bill alone is going to cost a significant amount of money, and the fact that we had, I think it's seven different agencies, OSHA, DALI, and several more. I'm not, I can't think of them all, but I certainly will if you ask, oversee manufacturing or the plant meat planting facilities. So it's that alone completely is unnecessary and very costly to the meat industry, and it's going to affect many of our local small town butcher shops as well, including my shops here in town, Reader's Meat Market. Been in business over 100 years. I know Von Hansen's, I've heard from them through another rep, a friend, that it's going to affect them. So it'll affect many of our small town meat butcher shops and also the meat packing industry. So it seems to be completely unnecessary based upon the chair's own testifiers. So for that purpose alone, I would not support the bill, because this money spent is just completely not necessary, and the bill is not necessary. We're at a time where we are want to get businesses back in business and productive and bring the economy back. It seems, Mr. Chair, yes, you worked very hard in crafting a bill. No one is going to discredit you for doing good work, at least what you think is good work for our state. But from the people we hear from the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce and many other organizations, this bill will only include a lot more mandates and more expensive businesses when a time is needed to help them. So in my opinion, and fellow many of my colleagues here and in my county, this does not advance Minnesota and really help us get out of this economic downturn and into prosperity. Just completely more mandates and costly ventures for the state of Minnesota that'll affect all of us. Those are just some comments at this point. And just wanted to hear, Mr. Chair, what you thought of the meat packing House File 7, when it's completely not necessary, in my opinion, and many others, of course, but just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Chair Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's House File 800, Representative McDonald. House File 7 is Earn Sick and Safe Time, but that's
okay. I'm sorry. Yes, sorry, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I wanted to talk about that too, but go ahead.
There's lots of bills in this bill. So, well, first off, Representative McDonald, talk about the small town meat processes. That's why we put in the amendment today that companies that have 50 employees or less are exempt from this bill. So they can. Take care of their employees, I assume, as need be. The testimony that you heard, Representative McDonald, from the USCW folks, I want you to make note of that. That is a union, those are from union organized plants. And so part of those safety committees, me coming from a long line of union workers myself, those are part of the collective bargaining agreement. Not all the processing plants are unionized or have a collective bargaining agreement. And so this bill would make sure that those non-union plants also put safety committees in place. So the workers that are not affected by a collective bargaining unit do have the safety measures in place to make sure that they can safely provide the meat products for our industry, from the industry for our consumption, Representative McDonald.
Representative McDonald, any follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Eklund. Yes, for the safety of all of us who like to feed ourselves, yes, that's very important. But there was no testifiers at any of these non-union shops, and it appears to me this bill is going to be just one to unionize those non-union shops. There was no evidence to substantiate that those shops don't practice safety measures or having any unsafe measures for their employees. So you didn't sell me on that quite yet, Mr. Chair. And I think we should, really be careful in pushing forth unionization of shops that are doing great work already. And that's all I have on that point at this time, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. Representative Detmer?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I still find it interesting that, Chair Eklund, that basically we have a dead bill with no Senate companion. Now, I know this is going to be on the cutting floor of the conference committee. And could you tell me, when you get to the conference committee, which parts of your bill will be your priority to get a final bill with the Senate?
Chair, Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Detmer. This bill is my priority. We will get to conference committee and we will work on it. The conference committees are always give and take. You know that. You've been involved in this process longer than I have. I have reviewed Senator Pratt's bill. It looks like that's how we're going to line up. I think the committee administrator sent that out to your partisan staff, so they're aware of that. And we'll see what happens when the conference committee is done, Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you're correct, Chair Eklund. There's going to be a lot of back and forth going on in the conference committee. I've sat in on conference committees before, and I'm sure that if you take a look at the different articles in this bill, that you're going to probably hold tight on certain parts of the bill. And so I don't know if you wanted to share that with the committee right now, but I know you probably have in the back of your mind right now, as I would, what parts of the bill I thought were the most important to try to keep in there when it comes out of conference. So thank you for your comments.
Okay, all right. Mr. Chair.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Representative Detmer. And there's an old, I think, Charlie Daniels song, know when to hold them, know when to show them. I'm a lousy poker player, but I'm going to do my best to keep a straight poker face until we get done with the conference committee.
All right. Representative Raleigh.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Eklund, sorry, I want to call you Chair Eklund. It's been very enlightening as a freshman on this committee and learning this process and walking through it. I've got a couple comments specifically going back to yesterday's testimony. I'm just finding a lot of the provisions in this bill are geared towards a one-size-fits-all. Specifically, we heard from the testifier, Ms. Krinke, yesterday, that hospitals are going to be, the smaller rural hospitals are going to be affected adversely by some of the one-size-fits-all. And I'm not trying to have you expose more of your cards, but how does it work in the conference committee to take a look at the broad spectrum of the way that these bills are affecting employers, and what opportunities are there to take a look at the individual employers that are more in outstate Minnesota that are going to be affected by some of these provisions? And I'm specifically talking about the testimony yesterday from Ms. Krinke. Mr. Chair.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Raleigh, that's a great question, seeing as how I'm from rural Minnesota, and quite a few of my hospitals have weighed in with concerns on House File 41. However, they still need to be able to protect our healthcare workers and make sure that they have adequate replacements. And a lot, and I've also heard from the workers that work at these hospitals that have been forced to take their time off, their sick leave, their whatever they have to avoid losing their pay because they've had to either quarantine or self-quarantine due to exposure to this virus. So we're doing our best to try to protect these workers. And I agree with you, Representative Raleigh, we do need to take the concerns of these small rural hospitals in. And I don't think it's just small rural hospitals. I think it has a tremendous effect on our large urban hospitals as well. You know, back in my county commissioner days, when we tried to hire public health nurses, we found out that we couldn't hire public health nurses because they could make more money coming down here, either working for a county down here or taking a job as an RN in one of these larger hospitals. So that's a bigger critical thing that we need to work on going forward is make sure that we have adequate staffing if or when there's another pandemic. Hopefully none of us see another pandemic in our lifetime. I certainly hope that I don't, but I think we need to have the proper rule measures in place in case that does happen.
All right, Representative Raleigh, follow up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, and you brought up the pandemic, and I believe this is a true statement, that this is the first time in recorded history, not just in Minnesota, but on the planet, where we have quarantined healthy individuals and had a government, basically a global government lockdown and shutdown on individuals. And I think what we're doing is reacting to a lot of the fear that has been surrounding this pandemic. And what I want to do is caution us as we're looking at some of these broad sweeping changes that, and I, absolutely we need to acknowledge, you know, not only the frontline workers, but all the workers. But while we're saying that in the same breath, we have to make sure that we're taking into account the employers, especially the small businesses who are the backbone of Minnesota, and I would say the backbone of our economy. I don't want these bills to be so onerous that they go so far as to shut down the small business owners. I've been a small business owner for going on 20 years now. And, you know, some of the provisions like the rehiring of employees that were laid off, I worry about the unintended outcomes from some of these bills. For example, having to rehire an employee and then having to backfill for for somebody that has had to get time off for COVID. And again, I think this might be something we need to seriously consider is if an employee is hired to fill in for an employee that was sick, do we now have two employees that are at risk of the same job and then have to then have the bill apply to both of those employees? And I worry about that. Specifically, the American Hotel and Lodging Association projected that 600 of Minnesota's, you know, 1,000 hotels could face foreclosure by this summer. And, you know, we're watching the shutdown that's being mandated by the governor is going to be affecting our employers. And I would just really caution us that as we're looking at the way that we're trying to protect individual employees, we also keep in mind that it's the employers who have the employees. And I want to make sure that that the things that we're doing are not only good for Minnesota workers, but for the employers that employ those workers. Because without the employers, then there's going to be even more layoffs. And again, it's in my mind, it's all about the unintended consequences of some of these mandates. And I really want to figure out ways that we can soften the blow or eliminate some of the mandates that are going on because of what's going to be happening to these employers. So I don't necessarily know, Mr. Chair, that I've got a question for Representative Eklund. It's just I would ask for Representative Eklund when he's back to being chair to help me understand. Again, as a freshman, how this is going to affect Minnesota employers and what we can do as a committee, because it's our job then to bring this to the full House for a vote. how we can help Minnesota employers as well. So thank you very much for the time, Chair. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Raleigh. Next, we have Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to say also, as someone who's new here, how proud I am of this bill that we put together and how much it reflects the voices that we've heard throughout this committee. And I think that we have heard from workers, and when I was looking through the bill and how it really invests in worker safety and economic security, but how many different sectors, and frankly, it hits sort of all Minnesota workers, healthcare workers, meat processing workers, oil workers, hospitality workers, service workers. And we've heard and are really responding to a lot of those voices. And so whether it's the meat packing bill, and I just wanted to, Representative McDonald brought that up, one of the reasons that we didn't hear from many of those non-union workers is because they needed and need the whistleblower protections that are actually in the bill that we're going to pass. And we heard a letter from a worker who is from a non-union plant because they don't have those whistleblower protections. And so I'm so proud of that meatpacker bill. The economic security that folks from in the hospitality industry that's been so hard hit by being able to get their jobs back when their workers start hiring again. And then for all workers, the earned sick time and Chair Eklund, your story about that you told on the House floor about not having that with so many workers who don't have the simple ability to take the time off they need when they're sick to care for themselves and also make sure that they're healthier workplaces. So I'm very proud of this bill, and I think it really responds to a lot of the worker voices that we heard in our committee, and I'm proud of that as well. So just wanted to say as a first termer, I really appreciate this process, and I'm proud to vote for this bill.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. Next on the list is Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to speak in favor of the bill. I think it's a good bill. I specifically am grateful for the language in the Helmets to Hard Hats program that got included in part of this bill. We have heard time and time again in this committee that we need to support our veterans in as many ways as we possibly can. And whether that was testimony that came in about cannabis and the ways that we can support our veterans with cannabis legalization so we can, I think one of the quotes that we heard in the committee was by one testifier saying that they could get rid of, you know, dozens of prescriptions by legalizing cannabis. But the Helmets to Hard Hats program specifically also addresses some mental health concerns and also getting people a pathway or getting our veterans a pathway into the workforce, which I think is excellent. I think that it is a well-rounded program that we are able to, as a legislative body, support and show our support for our veterans in a very deliberative way, and I think it's just one piece of this bill that is what makes this a great bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Representative Frederick. I think next is Representative McDonald, then Representative Berg, then Representative Bliss. So, Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to keep the video off so I have a better reception here. I'm getting a little sketchy here, but I want to make a comment regarding one of the statements was said that she's very proud of the bill. And I'm certainly you are. If you were in the majority, you would be proud. If you were in the minority, you wouldn't be so proud of the bill. For the sole fact, well, for many facts, one of the facts that there's not one Republican bill, not even Representative Detmer's anchor bill, who is lead GOP minority lead for that matter. And for that reason, you know, it's disappointing that you're going to the game of poker, you know when to hold them, when to fold them. You might as well fold this one because it's not going to do much good at all for our businesses. Mandate after mandate after mandate during a time when we need help, when businesses need help. And this takes an unnecessarily combative position against Minnesota employers. It's all about employees. You act as though that the employers aren't doing good work for the state or aren't taking good care of their people. And I frankly think that's an insult to have a bill that has just one mandate after another, one catch, another nail in the coffin of businesses that have been struggling over this last year. Not even a thank you for keeping your businesses open. Not even a thank you for keeping your employees safe
healthy, and employed, instead of it's a mandate after mandate after mandate that's very costly to the state of Minnesota. I mean, the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce and even the Minnesota school boards have great concerns with this bill. And during this time where Governor Wall's emergency powers has included many mandates, that wasn't enough. Mr. Chair, we have to even have more burdensome regulations, restrictions, and mandates to your bill. I hate to be a Debbie Downer and a negative. I'm certainly not criticizing any personalities here, just the work that's in the bill. Very expensive, very onerous mandates. And instead of offering a helping hand up, we flooded them with a sea of more mandates at a time that they're begging for a little raft. You know, Minnesota is going to have a $1.6 billion surplus and more billions coming in from the federal government. And at this time, we do not need to be crushing business with more mandates and raising taxes on business and families and slowing down our economic recovery. Instead, what we ought to do together as Republicans and Democrats is to see to it that we can get PPP and UI passed immediately, not later, not May 17th, not during special session. We really wanted to help the employees and employers. We would get PPP passed immediately, as would we with UI. And I know you guys agree with me. I'm sure you do. You can certainly correct me if you're wrong, but you know the importance of getting PPP and the UI passed now, not this bill, which has no Senate companion and has more onerous mandates. So I just encourage you, Mr. Chair, as you take this into the Senate, that you consider some of our concerns, because you're going to hear it on the Senate. And maybe next year it could be more Republican bills than this bill, and not one that continues to slam our employers like they're horrible people. And I know you don't say that publicly, of course, not even privately, but the bill does seem to indicate that, Mr. Chair, at least from my folks here in Wright County. So I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I can't support it because at this time, Minnesota can't support it. The 7 articles will hurt every 7 days of businesses in the state of Minnesota. So, Mr. Chair, I regretfully have to decline and not support your bill. Sorry to be such a negative Nelly here, but that's the way it is. And I fold my cards right now, Mr. Chair.
Representative Byrne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really want to point out that I appreciate Representative Raleigh's sort of holistic view of this bill and what it's going to do. Are there going to be challenges for employers? Possibly a little bit, but here's the thing. As an essential employee, you know, Chair Eklund's son and I were flying around the country transporting doctors and nurses to care for people in places where they were needed. The people that rang up your groceries and where you could pay for your gas, those are all workers that deserve protection, as are our meat packers and other essential workers that don't have earned sick and safe time. You know, this many provisions in this bill are not a response to the pandemic. They are things workers have been fighting for years, things that workers deserve. And I think for the business owners on the call, you've got to know that if your employees are taken care of, they're safe, they're happy, they can care for their loved ones when it's needed, whether it's elderly parents, a sick child, or a brand new baby. When those things are in place, your employees are happy, they're loyal, they're more productive. And so this is the symbiotic answer to employees and employers. And yes, sometimes it takes investment in that on the front end for the whole process to work in the long term, which is really what we're asking for in a robust economic or economy in general, but especially post-pandemic. So these are steps that we've been trying to get mostly larger employers to take care of their employees for a long time now. And now they're coming at the very necessary, hopefully, end to this pandemic when people need these protections more than ever. So I think if we stop trying to separate employers and employees and understand that each needs each other, and that if we take care of each other, the businesses thrive, then something like this, just like this bill, not only is not threatening, it just makes sense. So I appreciate the comments from the employers. I do come at it as a worker, so I get that that's my unique perspective. But this is a really good thing. And I think once this bill passes for things like earned sick and safe time, which I think everybody can get behind, because one day your child's going to be sick or you're going to have a brand new grandchild or your parents are going to be elderly, right? And then when we have these protections in place, I think we're going to realize how important it is. So I support this bill.
Thank you, Representative Berg. Next, Representative Bliss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I heard earlier a comment made that this bill encompasses all the voices we heard in this committee. I beg to differ with that comment. I think it's all the voices that you listen to in this committee. We had many employers or employee groups come in and express a lot of concerns about this bill. And I've been an employer for 21 years as well. I'm not really a small employer. I think I'd consider myself a micro employer. I think the most employees I've ever had is 3. Again, Representative Berg, I appreciate your comments when you say it's a symbiotic relationship. But when you take a hammer from the state and you apply it to a small business owner, how does that help either one? If I had 3 employees, I will work with my employees. Trust me, I want to keep my employees up here. Where I live, there might be 3 available employees. So I want to keep them. And I've treated them very, very well. To come in with the big stick of the government to do this is just, it's really putting a crushing blow on us. And, you know, and to the earn sick and safe, I understand the need for it. As a small business owner, I don't have that. I don't have the luxury to take any time off. And I do take care of my employees when they had them. And I do have one question for the author, Representative Eklund. You made a comment earlier that we're protecting our small meat packers by exempting employees 50 or less on that provision. Why are we not exempting it on the other provisions? Again, you know, the Family Leave Act is it does exempt employees under 50. Why are we not exempting them under this bill, Representative Eklund?
Representative Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Bliss. That's what came forward from the advocates for the Meatpackers Bill of Rights. We originally had it as $1 million in sales or less, and we thought that language came from the Department of Agriculture. We weren't sure if that worked properly and how we could enforce that. So that's why we picked a number of 50 employees or less.
Packers
issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bliss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate that. And that, you know, that seems like it's worked for FMLA. I struggle to find, again, you know, you think of the micro guys. I own a resort, folks. Resort businesses, we call it a living, not a lifestyle. I'm sorry, a lifestyle, not a living. We don't make money here. Our money comes at the end when we sell, and that's our retirement. I worked, I've been unemployed officially now for 4 years. Prior to that, so 17 years, I had a full-time job making close to 6 figures and sometimes over 6 figures. All of that money went into my business, all of it. It took care of my employees, took care of buying new equipment to upgrade the resort. To tell me I've got to do this stuff and not have the flexibility that it requires to run a business like this. It just, you're crushing the micro guys, the small guys. You know, I heard a comment earlier that 600 of the 1,000 hotels in this state are at risk of foreclosure. You know, we used to have over 1,000 resorts in this state. We're down, I think, below 600, somewhere around there. Again, there's not a large profit in these businesses. There really isn't. We don't have deep pockets. We try to keep our businesses open. We try to provide the service. It is a great lifestyle. I'm not going to deny that. Who else gets to live and have this kind of view that I've got out my window here? But there's not a lot of money. We really, really require the flexibility to deal with our employees in the way that you know, works for us, works for our employees. You know, if my employees need time off, I'll work with them. I would allow them 20 hours a week. You know, if you're sick now, you can work 30 hours next week. You can get caught up. Why not allow that flexibility for us in this bill? And again, Mr. Chair, the 50 employee exemption seems like a reasonable exemption. But again, you know, coming out of a pandemic and we're hammering the employers, how does that help the employer or employees if the employers can't afford to hire them anymore? Again, that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, Representative Paulson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just make a few comments. I don't really have a question, but Representative Bliss said he's got a micro business. I own a business up in the North Country as well. This time of year, I have 300 employees going towards 400 employees. And I will tell you that this last year has been hell. You know, we've been open, we've been shut, we've been open, we've been shut, we've been partially open, we've been shut. We've gone through this roller coaster ride of crap, you know, on crap mandates that I wish hadn't have been out there. Okay, and right now we're talking about this stuff, and it's non-business owners talking about this stuff, and they don't have the experience, and they shouldn't be talking about it, quite honestly. You know, they just don't have the experience. You don't write the paychecks. You don't have 300 employees. You don't have three employees. You don't understand the responsibility. We're sitting here fighting to get our PPP tax conformity, and we're talking about this crap, okay? And all of our employees that have been in and out of work for the last year are wanting their unemployment taxes taken care of, and we're not taking care of that. We're taking care of this kind of crap, okay? So this bill puts a lot of mandates on small businesses that I think some of you have very little experience about and have looked into very little, okay? This has been a really difficult year for business people in Greater Minnesota and Metro Minnesota and for employees. So why in the heck aren't we taking care of PPP, which would make a huge difference? Why in the heck aren't we opening our businesses back up like other states are doing, and we know we can, and do it safely? And why aren't we taking care of this unemployment insurance that our people need us to take care of so desperately? So, Mr. Chair, Representative Eklund, I'm sorry I'm a little passionate about this, but this has been a hell of a last year. And for the business owners that are on this call, they understand it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Poston. Before I go to Representative McDonald, is there anybody else? Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, that's not a good sign when you say, is there anybody else? So I guess I've spoken too much, and I won't be long. I just do want to make a quick comment regarding Representative Berg's statements. And I certainly think I do appreciate your passion and your commitment to your bill and the enthusiasm. I get it. And I will never question that or criticize that. But in one of the things you said is that this bill does not separate employees and employers, or something to the effect of paraphrasing. But unfortunately, as you read the language of the bill, it does just that. It does separate the employers from the employees and hammers at the employers, the job creators in the state of Minnesota, who have you heard over and over, not just from me, but throughout this whole committee, need us legislators and lawmakers to give them an extra hand, a little saving grace during these tough times. And unfortunately, this bill does not. It does indeed separate employers and employees, and the onus is on the employers, and it's going to be very costly, very costly. When at a time it could be 3-4 years of recovery for many in the industry, the hospitality industry. So I'm afraid it does separate. So I'd have to disagree with you, Representative Berg, on your nomenclature on that. But I do sincerely appreciate your enthusiasm, your commitment, and excitement on the bill. I'm afraid I and my colleagues don't share that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I serve on the Tax Committee also. We had our Tax Committee hearing today, and then we're going to be marking up the bill tomorrow. And the biggest issue there, too, as we mentioned here, is the not providing the PPP tax exemptions that are so important to our businesses, and also the UI tax. You know, my constituents have been contacting me. I'm sure you've gotten contact. Everybody here has been getting contacts from their small businesses around the state and also our constituents. So even the tax bill that should be taking care of these two issues is not really doing it the way it should be done. So I guess we'll have to wait till we, so I think somebody mentioned special session. I hope we don't go in a special session, but like we did last summer, 7 special sessions. And we still need to bring the legislative emergency powers back to this legislature where it belongs. And I don't know what it's going to take for the governor to decide that he's going to give that power up. But I do remember when the governor came into our caucus last year before the COVID-19 hit us. And that was the last time he came into our caucus, by the way. And he said, be careful about giving me too much power. I remember that was his words, be careful about giving me too much power. Well, I guess as a legislature, we learned our lesson. And we as a legislature needs to be making these decisions with the governor. And I don't know about the other side of the aisle, if the governor's been into your caucus, or he certainly hasn't been in ours since. And that's what the people around the state of Minnesota is looking at, is are we working together with at least these two branches of government? And apparently we're not. So that's all I have to say. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to respond to Representative McDonald. Thank you for that. That was a really classy way to say that we disagree. And I am enthusiastic to Representative Poston's remarks. I don't know what life is like as an employer. I know what life is like as a mom who holds down 3 jobs and still has to feed my kids from the dollar store. That's where I come from. And I have clawed and scraped my way to get to this seat so that I could represent workers' voices. And it breaks my heart to hear from Representative Bliss about your 3 employees and the fact that they may lose their jobs, the fact that you are struggling to take care of your family. None of this is easy. None of this is right. None of this is good, but life is hard. And sometimes when we come up with policies that protect the greater group of workers and employers, sometimes there are, as somebody said, unintended consequences. And if, you know, if we could have a magic wand and take care of everybody, we would. These are good policies to protect the majority of workers and the majority of employers. And then we need to work on other good policies to take care of the smaller guys. And I wish I had the answers. I just commit to respectfully working with all of you for as long as I'm in this seat to achieve that. And I really appreciate this discussion where it hasn't gotten to finger pointing or to ugly. It's okay for us to disagree. I have my experience and you have yours. And I think the bottom line is we're all here because we care. And I'll respect that for every one of you. But I am proud of a lot of elements of this bill because I want to see people like me and people like your employees, Representative Bliss, get the help they need. And I would love to see Representative Poston, Representative McDonald, everybody prosper too. That's the ultimate goal. And that's what I meant by the relationship being symbiotic, is that when our employees are healthy and taken care of, then they have great morale and they're productive and they want to be where they're working and they want to bring that success to their employer. That's what I meant by not separating the two. It's more of the holistic view versus like the actual policy language. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Burke, for that. Representative Eklund, any final comments?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. This has been an enlightening discussion to the employers on this call and to the employers that are part of this committee. I am certainly glad that you treat your employees well. Not all employers treat their employees well. I've been in jobs where not all employers have treated me well, okay? So I'm glad that you do, and I'm thankful that you do, but this bill helps employees and employers. Representative Raleigh, you asked about what we have done to help employers. In December, the legislature passed, I believe I might be wrong on the numbers, $265 million that went out to the counties to help their small businesses. Counties like mine that I live in got $250,000 because we are under a certain population. It was all based on population. They used mostly third-party providers to help those employers out, those businesses out. The CARES Act has provided money to help the businesses out, and the American Recovery Plan, I'm assuming, is going to provide money to help our businesses out to stay focused. We have staff working on that right now to try to untangle what that means as far as this committee and all the other committees in the legislature for how that money will be dispersed. Taxes, PPP, unemployment insurance, I'm glad that everybody got to say their piece about it. That is not a purview of this committee. It is being taken care of in the tax committee. I'm certainly looking forward to see what Chair Marquardt comes out with, but we'll have to go from there. I'm not going to comment any further on that since I am not part of that committee. And I really need to give Charlie Rich the right credit, because I gave the wrong guy credit for the song. I think I said Charlie Daniels, and I realized afterwards that I don't want any songwriters coming after me for giving the wrong credit in the wrong place. However, I still think this is a good bill. I appreciate Representative Berg's comment about a symbiotic relationship. That's what employers and employees are. And if the employers are treating their employees right, we shouldn't have to worry about this stuff. But this bill is written the way it is to make sure that the employees are taken care of in the state of Minnesota. And I'm proud of this bill. And with that, Mr. Chair, I ask for your support.
All right. Seeing no further questions or comments at this time, I will renew my motion for House File 1670 along with the nonpartisan technical instruction. The nonpartisan committee staff is authorized to make any technical changes necessary to reflect the will of the committee. And with that as amended, be House File 1670 as amended, be re-referred to Ways and Means. The committee legislative assistant will take the role on the bill.
Chair Eklund.
Yes.
Eklund, aye. Vice Chair Zhang.
Aye.
Zhang, aye. Representative Detmer.
Nay.
Detmer, nay. Representative McDonald.
Donald, nay.
McDonald, nay. Representative Berg.
Aye.
Berg, aye. Representative Bliss.
No.
Bliss, no. Representative Edelson.
Aye.
Edelson, aye. Representative Frederick.
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Greenman, aye. Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Poston.
No.
Poston, no. Representative Raleigh.
Raleigh, no.
Raleigh, no. Representative Sundin.
Aye.
Sundin, aye. There are 8 ayes, 5 nays.
There being 8 ayes, 5 nays, the motion passes and the bill is on its way to the Ways and Means Committee. And I'm going to hand the gavel back to Chair Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, currently we do not have another committee meeting scheduled, but that could happen. So we will do our absolute best to have staff make sure that your legislative assistants and partisan and nonpartisan staff know if we do schedule another meeting. I'm certainly up in the air on that. If something comes along, you never know what happens. We still have, 6 weeks, 6 short weeks, I guess, or however you want to call it, left of this session. It has been a pleasure working with all of you. I know that when I want to get a hold of either one of the leads, you're both very prompt at getting back to me if we have questions. Mr. Kenny, Mr. Holquist, it's a pleasure working with you again. We'll see more of you as through Ways and Means and other committees as we go forward. Sully and Travis and Grace, thank you for keeping me in line and keeping me grounded for what we have to do on getting this committee done. And last but not least, our nonpartisan staff, Ms. Roberts and Ms. James, you're a tremendous asset to this committee, so thank you. Any comments from Representative McDonald or Representative Detmer? Representative McDonald.
Yeah. Mr. Chair. Yeah, I would like to thank you as well. And Representative Berg, you're right. I hope that the public knows, and if some of them are watching, that Republicans and Democrats do get along and we do great things for our state. And yes, we often, or sometimes, and often, depending on what bill is up on the floor, disagree. But generally, we do care about one another, and we care about our constituents, we care about our state. When I go out and speak in public around my community of Wright County, I let people know that some of the first things I talk about is that we have great relationships and we have good respect and admiration for one another. And Mr. Chair, I do have good respect, a lot of respect and admiration for you. I shall never forget the your first week in session or two that we had dinner together out on Summit Avenue, Billy, I forget what's the name, anyway, and got to know you a little bit at that point. And knew that you're a good man, you have a good heart, and very fair. You've been a good chairman. I've enjoyed working with you, and I will continue to share that with my colleagues when we meet and talk about our committees. So thank you for your fairness and your chairmanship and being just doing a good job. Thanks immensely. And your staff as well, Ms. Doyle and Ms. Reese. Thank you. Good work.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. Before I go to Representative Detmer, I forgot to mentioned nonpartisan staff, Mr. Diebel from the veteran side of things has also been a tremendous asset to the committee. So thank you, Mr. Diebel. Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I've chaired this committee before, but I do believe in the future, I would hope that we keep the Veterans Committee separate as a Veterans and Military Affairs Committee. And the reason because I noticed this year that a lot of partisanship came in with the labor. And I wish that was not part of this committee, especially when we're dealing with veterans issues. And I think both sides of the aisle many times will use veterans bills to put in their bills to get people to vote for their bills. And I really, over the years that I've served here, I just don't like that. I think we should keep veterans issues separately. Have a veterans omnibus bill, keep it separate where you could use the veterans omnibus bill to have everything in there dealing with veterans and move it forward separate from other committees. I know that's trying to convince other people to do that is a tough thing, but Dr. Eklund, you've been working with me for the last few years, and I think I value our relationship, our friendship, and I think this is a good committee to serve on. I think, as I mentioned before, it's the best committee to serve on. And thank you for your leadership on this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Detmer. And I might add that we attempted to do a separate veterans omnibus bill again this year. That other body that we don't always like to talk about, except when it's maybe convenient, had no interest in doing that. So that's... I'll lay the blame firmly at their feet, and we'll go on from there. So, but final comments out to all the committee members. You've been very good. It's been great to work with you. And this isn't obviously first year of the biennium. We're all gonna be back hitting button heads again next year if need be, or getting along depending on the situation. So we certainly have the second year of the biennium to look forward to, and stay tuned. We may have another committee hearing yet if something comes up. So that's my final comments. Thank you for all your good work, and we are adjourned.